listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 20th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
To be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Always a great way to start our discussions, and tonight's topic is the concept of truth. Wanted to have a nice, light discussion, keep it nice and breezy.
Nothing like an existential discussion. Well, you know, it's very interesting because what's truth versus more truthful than something else that somebody believes, which is always subjective. And I think then we have to look at what's a fact versus an opinion, because what is the truth? And I think we're naturally spiritually truth seekers. I really do. I think that our spirit wants to know the truth or something more truthful. But it really is about our perception of reality, though, isn't it, Michael?
Well, I think that that's absolutely true, and that was actually my first note, too. The perception of reality shapes our truth, and it is all based on perception. And I think it's wise when we realize that there are a lot of perspectives out there, and we need to be mindful and realize that our perspective is only one, but that does not negate our truth or, you know, the meaning of that truth to us.
Well, I agree, and I think that there's, in the perceptions of reality, there's the belief systems that we're raised with that we take on as being truthful because of the people who are delivering that, and that becomes our reality. But then there's the mixed messages that changes our perceptions of what may not be our reality. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, confusion, usually during adolescence. Oh, that'll do it. But then as you're maturing, but then it's still relative to geographically where you live. Then your culture, your community. And then down to the family. But the family, a family generally adapts to a community. A community generally adapts to a geography. You know what I'm saying? So it all kind of, the micro macro cosms of it kind of all fit together. So what we might how we might be raised to believe certain things is not how someone in another country would, or geographically, even in another state or province, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a completely different, like, it doesn't have to be Africa versus North America. It can be Georgia versus Los Angeles. Sorry, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because it's very different cultures. So what is truthful then? And how do we weed out the truth? I think that within all of us, and this is my belief, that within all of us is that connection with our universality, our spirituality. And when we kind of surrender that, we become more earthbound and narrow in our view of the world, because your worldview is everything, not just your little bubble of reality, but the worldview, and then how you think the whole world ought to be based on that, and it lowers that frequency. But the more you're connected spiritually with yourself, having a sense of conscience, a sense of, you know, I am more than just this body, I believe that opens to being more accepting or more sometimes tolerant, I think, has to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Provided, and that's why, you know, starting out with the principles of belief, do no harm, do right, which is key, top of the list. There are realities or perceptions of realities that think nothing of bringing harm. But they don't think it's harm. They believe that's right and truthful in the way they live, which makes it very complex, actually. So what ought to be a simple discussion turns into a very complicated kind of global community, which is kind of where we're at. So to me, in trying to weed that down, no matter where we are, is what makes universal natural sense. And to get closer to the truth. You know, I think there's been philosophers from the beginning of time. I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of years of writing, thousands of years of writings of people trying to understand some other existentialism, what is real, what's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're naturally curious in that, if that makes sense.
I think it absolutely makes sense. And, you know, I think a lot of the issues that we grapple with on a day-to-day basis when it comes to our ethics, philosophy, perceptions, what is reality, we've been grappling with these same questions for millennia, just like you'd said, and I don't know that will ever stop. I think it's up to each generation to grapple with those issues and come to an understanding of it. And, you know, we've been talking about this idea of truth, and I think you may have, I've been trying to get my chat to work, which I apologize if I haven't seen anybody's comments or anything, because it's not loading, and I don't think anything I'm typing out is coming through, so I might count on you, Dr. Hunter, for cards later, if you can see the chat.
Oh,
well.
Yours just popped up, Michael. There we go.
But back to the idea is, Have we really touched on, is there truly objective truth out there? Is there, you know, objective reality, or is everything shaped by perception?
Well, you know, my hypnosis master teacher from years ago would say that the only facts we know is that we live on a planet, there's a moon, and we rotate around a sun, you know. Unless you're a flat earther, I don't know what that means. But, you know, he would say everything else is an opinion or a subjective view of reality. It's what we can agree upon and find that civility that's the key. So but understanding that we can all see the same thing and see it from a different angle, because there's so many variables. Is there anything objective? He would say we're as subjectively objective as possible.
Mm-hmm.
and it, you know, it took me a while for that really to sink in, but I think I'm being objective. I'm looking at something objectively. I'm looking for something more truthful, but it's still my view of that. and that is absolutely subjective. So as Frank Appleyard would say, that it's in our collective realities and where we're going, and that really counts in our humanity, kind of. It's like, but how many people are really truth seekers in that? You know, Dr. Stephen wrote something in the chat, esoteric truth. Mm-hmm. Well, that's esoteric. It's all subjective, right? Everything is the variables within the variables, and our perception. And this is where I think even with science, when we look at something that might be viewed as a fact today, may not be a fact tomorrow.
Absolutely. It's all, you know, based on the best understanding that we have at this moment, which is why I think it's important to take your view of reality with a bit of a grain of salt. Because, you know, if you boil everything down to, you know, what can you prove? Well, I guess the only thing you can truly prove beyond the shadow of a doubt is I think, therefore I am. I mean, beyond that, the human mind is it's susceptible. And I do like that, you know, term esoteric truth. I mean, because so much of what we consider truth is what you were talking about earlier on in our discussion about, you know, raised in a certain culture, raised in a certain family, you're raised with that, you know, viewpoint, you know, that's rather localized. And of course, you see broad trends over cultures, but every family knows that their family has a thing or a little habit or a cultural trend that's theirs. You know, it's just something that's built in. I think it's part of our social nature. But when it comes, I think there is objective truth. Just like, again, another Dr. Stephen comment in there about logical truth. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. That's beyond dispute. And I think that there are core truths of the universe. And of course, those are only things that we can point to, see, and repeatedly say. Again, accepting the fact that this may all be a simulation, and we could all be, you know, figments of somebody's imagination, or just, you know, artificial intelligence in some computer program. So, but assuming we can look at what
Matrix,
we can prove,
Matrix.
Exactly, what we can prove in this reality, you know, we can say that the sky is blue, grass is most, you know, for the most part is green, and there are things like that. But if we can point to objective truth, and we can point to things that, at least in this reality, these things are not in dispute, can we have objective morality, objective ethics, something that is
right action?
Yeah, exactly. Right and wrong, that is universal, no matter the culture, no matter the, you know, societal input.
Well, I think that's where the 9 principles of belief comes in. For me, it resonates to that, like as articulated as clearly as possible, where it is like culture free, it's demographics free, you know, it's just a universal understanding that can help us check in with ourselves. So I think that there can be that framework of what we can all agree upon. And fortunately, that doesn't seem to be human nature, but we are working on that to raise the consciousness. It's like the other thing Dr. Stephen said, absolute versus relative truth. Well, I don't know if there's an absolute truth. I just know absolutely, I don't absolutely know. You know.
Well, could it be said that, you know, there is the truth, there is what is going on, because we understand that we're, you know, we're beings that are in a much wider world. So there is an objective truth out there. We just might not be able to see it because of our narrow perspective.
And that being a relative truth, you know, it's our reality and what is relative to us in that truthfulness. So, I mean, it's semantics, really. Because we're just trying to look at something from all different angles, and what is truth, and being sensitive to all different viewpoints, and being empathetic to all different viewpoints to come up with. And I'm sure Dr. Kelly agonized over the 9 principles of belief in writing that, because it's a good framework. you know, that can have us check in. And I don't mean to keep harping on that, but in my experience, in my near 65 years of, I've read Bibles, I've read, you know, all different religions and stuff, and most things are negative, believe it or not, thou shalt not, and or they're condemning in some way. You know, it was to me refreshing to see something that was, I totally get that. We're just checking in with ourselves spiritually and learning how to be better human beings, and mm-hmm. that makes sense. But not everyone would be of that thinking. Most people believe, and I dare say most people believe that you have to believe in something outside yourself to believe in yourself. You know, and just the numbers who joined religions, you know, mm-hmm. Secular religions is evidence of that. So that's, you know, a truth to those people. You know, and for myself being, you know, in the Scandinavian, that aka Viking pagan kind of reality, I live in that. That's my belief system, what I practice.
You're a heathen.
I know. but there are many gods. And so you think about the many spirits and the many energies. And I could tell you they could very well have been aliens, you know, but do I pray to Odin? No, not necessarily. I just say, Odin, if you're out there, $5 ain't what it used to be. So get your job done, you know.
You have to, Odin needs to take inflation into account, which is on average 2% a year. Come on.
I know. You see, so I have these talks with these spirits, and if they're gods, okay. But again, it's really about knowing who I am and the more truthfulness about myself. So that's really where, you know, inevitably I like to go with a conversation when it comes to truth, is it's just my truth. And if I keep growing, I can see the core of my being, the center of my truthfulness, you know, and confronting my dark side and always knowing that dark side. I have the potential for things. I know exactly what my trigger points are. But me being in better management of myself and knowing who I am, that's more truthful. So as I get older, and a lot of things that used to be important, I see, well, it had importance when I was 30, it didn't now. So, you know what I mean? It all changes. So even my own reality, my own truths change. But that center of my being, that nature, is what's truthful. And connecting with that spirit sense of, and you know, when all this fails, and again, I happen to think with some particular timeline that there's reincarnation. Mm-hmm. All I know when I get into these moral dilemmas or ethical dilemmas, my thing is, oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to have to pay for this later. I think I'll just get it done now. Do it right. You know, I got to answer for this when I leave here. So, I think I'll not, you know. But again, to be lighthearted about that, because I don't take it as seriously as I used to either. So it's owning the truth of who we are, even in that dark side. Mm-hmm. Because we do, each of us have that. We each struggle with that. And trust me, there's a point where it's less of a struggle, where it's because you just know who you are and what you wouldn't be capable of. But as we all know, we can think we know somebody, and then something very radical happens, and you say, whoa, I didn't see that coming. You know, the mm-hmm. potentialities, and generally it's people who haven't embraced their dark side to really know who they are, that it can zig and zag like crazily.
Well,
I think
it's all about the balance of the human being. Mm. I mean,
yep.
The light and the dark does exist within us, which always leads me back to the, you know, famous old story of the Cherokee chief talking to his grandson about the fight in each human soul between a wolf that is all good, love, purity, and happiness, the wolf that is evil, jealousy, hatred, and spite. Mm. And the grandson asks, which will win? And the chief responds, the one which you feed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a well-told, often-told story, but it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love that. So it's, but again, that's, see, when you say that, I can feel truthfulness to that. Is it an absolute truth? I guess in some way it could be, but it's a relative truth in, you know, how we're viewing ourselves and life at that moment. So, and I think during these stressful days on the planet, it's, you know, there's so much conjecture and finger pointing and blame gaming and, you know, and what's the truth? When there's so much negativity flying around, you couldn't possibly find out anything truthful. That's for one. When things aren't done in a good way, you'll never know. Like, because even if there is something really diabolical to learn, it's getting buried deeper and deeper the more this negativity is around. So, and look, what do we know, right?
I know everything, but you go ahead.
Yeah. I
know
nothing.
I have my
suspicions, I have my theories, I have my opinions, but it doesn't change, a fact of we're all dealing with, you know, our issues today, not just a matter of, you know, a pandemic virus, but we're dealing with, you know, the economics of that. We're dealing with the unemployment of that. We're dealing with a huge, I see it as a big global correction in a way. But it's also a big shuffle. So that's painful, you know, and everybody says we don't, you know, we want to go back to the way it was. Well, why would you want to do that when we're creating a new reality? I can't go back to who I was yesterday. Right. You know, I can only be more of who I am tomorrow. And so, again, closer to a truthfulness, who are we and what are we going to continue to create? So what is the truth in that? To me, that's a truthful statement.
Yeah.
You know, rather than the finger pointing or, you know, is there always, there's always more going on than we're ever told. That's fact.
Oh, absolutely.
I see that as fact.
And that's only because there's so much going on that we can't possibly know. And to that point, think of the human on this planet that you know the most. You know them through and through. You tell yourself, I know them better than they know themselves. Yeah. There are things about that person you will never know. Not ever.
It's true.
And there are things about yourself you'll probably never know either, because there's things about us that can only really be seen and observed from afar.
Well, you know, I guess it's like the first-time parent. You know, you don't know. You can think you know about raising kids. You can think you can know all this. You can read all the books. You can have friends who've had kids. Until you've had your own and you've had to change those diapers, you really don't know. See?
Yeah.
And then you go through the, you know, the raising of those children. You really don't know until you do it. And you have that spiritual, emotional connection to it, because your view of life changes then. And so it's much like life in any other regard. Until you've had that experience and until you've gone through it, if you've never had cancer, you can't know what that is. You can only surmise or empathize or, you know, imagine what that is. But I think what we are all lacking is the sensitivity to imagine. You know, I think our dilemma and what's kind of brought us into a heated moment of life at the moment is that selfishness. And I'm not speaking to our necessary audience, you know, in the chat.
Oh, no, not our audience. We're talking about other people.
Yes, of course.
Not you listening.
But there is that when we have in ways become indulged or complacent, and, you know, imagine billions of people don't have running water. So we, you know, we like to think that everyone has a right to running water. But if you talk to Nestle, that might be different.
Well, that brings us back to objective truth and objective morality.
Yeah,
can you not say that there is a moral imperative that if you have the technology, you have the means to provide everybody with, if not running water, then a reliable supply of clean water that is readily available, if that is possible and you do not do it, is that truly not only do no harm, but do right? You know, it's that extra step of making sure that we can provide to those that need.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I will say this, you know, we are going in the right direction, however slow it may be. I was reading an article, and it is true that those people that are in extreme poverty and extreme hunger, starvation, people that do not have food security, has fallen from 36% of the global population in 1970 to 11% now. And that's a pretty precipitous drop, especially with the explosion of population that we've seen. So it is, we are going in the right direction. But then that's just statistics, because 11% of 7 point something billion is still a significant amount of people, and those lives matter. Not to say that it's not something we still need to tackle.
I know. We'll see how world trade affects or influences these other, you know, social justices, injustices, and so on and so forth goes forward, because it's people with consciousness and the conscience that have an opportunity, and I think now more than ever, to rise up and say, no, we're going to feed everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of this. Everybody ought to have food, shelter, and clothing, you know, in whatever some form. And yeah, of course, somebody's going to call me a socialist. Well, if that means I'm a socialist, so be it. I'm a humanist. I think that everyone is entitled to that. That's a right. When you're born into this, onto this planet, that there's everything we need on this planet to take care of ourselves. And that to me is a truth. And I know that's me going over, you know, being a little radical at the moment, but to me that's the truth. Everything is provided for. The earth mm-hmm. has everything for us. It's when people get in the way of other people having that we have an issue.
It's about people helping one another too, because the spread of resources is not equal around the world, and in certain places mm-hmm. of the planet it is much harder to grow food or to have food than in others, which is why globalization, you know, I'm sorry, but there are certain things that I know that some people don't like, but I do not view globalization as a bad thing. I do not view the idea of an eventual world government as a bad thing, because it means, ultimately, it means that we're going to have evolved as a people. And of course, you know, sure, I was raised on Star Trek, they have a world government, there's no hunger. I get it, but
I
still.
I look, Michael, I'm with you in that idealism. I think that eventually Earth is headed that way.
Because,
it may not be tomorrow, but
you know,
I'm not opposed to it entirely either, except that there are some things that naturally ought to stay where they're geographically belong.
In terms of culture and, you know, the ways of the people of that area or what they want to do in self-governance.
I'm talking basic insects, animals you know, that belong in a certain geography, and you know that's where they've adapted. But when we start carrying, you know, all these other bioforms all over the planet where it's out, then the balance of nature becomes distressed. You know, I mean, it's out. So I think that's where we have to be. Although we can have that, it's to be more sensitive to the earth and what it requires and how it's adapted. And this, we have to, in so many ways, be more sensitive to nature. I'm not even going to get started on climate change. I'm just talking about nature in general.
How about we've been talking some statistics, and we were just talking a little bit about COVID-19 in chat. Let's throw out this one. There was a headline that carbon emissions have been cut by 17% during this.
How about that?
I mean, and it shows us what's possible. And of course, just like the COVID crisis won't fully be resolved until we have a vaccine that can accurately treat it, or treatments that are antiviral that mean if you get it, you won't, it's not as severe as it is now. Just like that, when climate change, and this is all I'll say on it, and I'll get off my soapbox ASAP, I promise. It will change when we fully commit to alternative energy sources where we can still maintain the lifestyles of the 21st century, because human beings just are not going to give that up. But if we can find alternatives to those energy sources, we will be able to make real progress. And I think real economic gains. All right, that's it. I'm done.
But I feel like there's some truth to that. So we're back to a relative, you know, relative truth. And because I'm with you in theory and in philosophy.
Well, like in,
it's now the application. This is what I mean by, I think, in really trying times like this, and again, there's so many aspects to it and layers, this is an opportunity for all of us to behave ourselves. I don't mean succumb to the power of some great leader. I'm talking about, you know, watch our behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, and check in with ourselves and see a greater good here. And again, restoring our communities. And I think generally speaking, I told this to somebody the other day, I think generally most people have been considerate during COVID,
yeah.
the distancing. It's just that very small percentage that can really ruin a guy's day, you know? And it's those are the ones that, you know, and you get all these little groups marching and all this stuff going on. I'm thinking it serves no purpose today. You're not changing anything today.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how loud your voice is, it's not going to change anything today. There's still a virus. And I happen to know some dead people because of it. So we're not all of them.
Unfortunately, I do as well.
And so, I mean, it's relative to this moment. And I wish people would save their radicalism and their fears for something that's part of a solution.
Well,
rather than more dissent.
I say, well, I think, you know, instead of putting your energy into radicalism or fear, redirect it into something, you know, right, useful.
Yes.
Exactly.
I agree.
Exactly.
I agree.
So, and I was, you know, going to say also a couple more things. One, just going back to this idea, you know, one world government won't happen when, you know, some dictator taking control of everything, or, you know, world domination. It's not going to happen from the Illuminati. It's not going to happen from any of that, because all of that would be overcoming human nature. One world government will come when human nature evolves to the point where tribalism is less severe, where we can celebrate each other and our differences.
Oh, cooperation, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I agree.
That will come with human social evolution. But it may be a while off. That being said, I was also going to say, let's, you know, for the last, I think, as we're going to be getting into cards, so make sure you put your name into the chat if you'd like I believe, combo tonight as well of our inner oracle cards and the tarot for drawings. But,
Well, you know, it is a good discussion. I know it doesn't give us any absolutes. It seems like this conversation goes in circles. But I think that's important to address, how difficult truthfulness can be, and what a difficult subject it can be to address. But it's really quite simple if we just touch base with who we are. And there's a truthfulness in that, rather than looking for an absolute truth outside the self. The mm-hmm. truth that we're all wanting is inside ourselves, and to live a more truthful existence, you know, truthful, creative life,
right.
and one that is more solutions driven than, you know, crisis.
Well, you know, the last thing I was going to pull out is just an idea. And this is of the Akashic Record, right? And if I'm not mistaken, the idea of the Akashic Record is it's the universal codex, the universal appendix of everything that's happened. It is the record of all things that ever have happened or ever will happen. And let's hypothetically, for this little thought experiment, say that that is true. And am I right about that, Dr. Hunter, in my statement about what it is?
I think so.
Great.
That's a pretty good way of saying it.
Sweet. I would say, does that not represent objective truth? The objective reality of what is, what happened, free from perception. And if you could tap into that, are you not tapping into the truth of reality, the objective truth of reality? Just a little thought experiment I was throwing out.
Well, I think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's still subjective.
Well, the interpretation of those events are subjective, yeah. Right? But the fact that the events happened are in themselves not subjective.
You know, I was just looking for an article briefly. I was just a tiny bit distracted because there was an article the scientists have only just, and it was put out by NASA. So somebody can do a little research. I don't think it'll be hard to find. But NASA found some kind of interesting blip, and that it would indicate that time doesn't just move forward, it also moves backward.
Oh. So, I mean, if things weren't complicated enough, you know, first we had to deal with the Earth being round. It couldn't just be nice and simple and flat. Then we had to deal with the universe being infinite. Now we have to deal with this. Oh, my God.
Oh, I think I can feel the quantum physics topic coming up one of these weeks soon. So, but it's and just if anybody's interested in that, you want to check it out and do a little research. I wished I've kept it on hand to bring it up. But again, what is real? You know, time moving forward, moving backward, and we're learning so much more. So, my challenge to myself is never to think in ways of hanging on to a pragmatic belief system.
Yeah.
You know, it's to always remain open and anything's possible. And to be okay with that, just to be comfortable with not knowing anything.
Right. You know, and until I learn otherwise, I'm going to believe that the flying spaghetti monster in space is what makes the sun go up and down each day. But
I like that guy.
A great conversation.
Anybody would like a card drawn, please put your name in the chat. We'll be happy to do that. Inner Oracle self-discovery cards, and I'll back it up with a tarot card.
We have a few people in so far, and I believe we have Dr. Jeff up first.
You know, I got to tell you something, Michael. Now my chat is kind of wonky.
Nice inside scoop for those listening to the archives, just in case you join us in the live chat, you get to put up with some of these things too. But if you go ahead and type something in the chat, it'll load everything up.
Oh,
I found that up.
I'm putting refreshing in here.
So, Dr. Jeff, we have you up first.
Oh, yeah. That was a glitch in the matrix here, wasn't there?
I'm telling you.
I see all these things.
I'm telling you.
All right. Jeff, it's nice to see you here. Michael, do you want to kick it off for Dr. Jeff?
Absolutely. And we have number 32, sympathy and empathy.
Okay.
Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which is relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always explore the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Well, to back that up, as a support energy, is the Jack of Clubs, Jeff. In tarot language, it's a Knight of Wands. And I see that as somebody who is bringing about change. And change is in yourself, but change is outside yourself. And you might be having a different view of it or another kind of insight to it. So it's reviewing what is sympathy, empathy, and emotions attached to it, and the changes that you're doing. And I'm just going to suggest that one of my intuition kind of perks up sometimes and says it's really more about following your intuition, not just the emotion of it, but the insightfulness to it. So I think you're embarking on something that's going to bring some changes into your life. You're just looking at it and applying yourself in a new way. I think that's really positive, actually.
All
so,
right.
Who is Mrs. Schuler? We have.
All right. And I have wild card number 8, freedom. That's a good card. We haven't pulled that one in a while.
We have not.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Whoa, this is really powerful. The Ace of Spades, Ace of Swords, tarot language. You know, the Ace of Spades is, in a nutshell, success having overcome the challenge. It's having risen above, having faced difficulties. And through those efforts, there is a successfulness and a feeling of achievement. But again, it very often does face some challenge. So this freedom that is indicated here in what Michael has selected for you, and the Ace of Spades, I think that there's this, what I'm sensing here is you've arrived or you're arriving. And it's not without its difficulties or its stresses, but you're okay, and you're even better than okay because there is this freedom that you're experiencing with that. So that's a really powerful shift of energy in your life at this time, or this chapter of your life. So I would say that this is an affirmation for you that, whoa, you're on the right path, and there's some really good things about to open up. That's all right. It is. It's a very significant pairing of symbols, really significant. So hope that makes sense to you. And
good.
You know, that's that. So right. Is there anybody else?
We do have Dr. Shirley next.
And hi,
I'm going to continuously throw random symbols into chat so I can keep refreshing, so don't mind me.
Okay.
Alright. And let's see. I have number 33, preference and principle.
That's
funny, I just pulled number 32. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, the page of wands, page of clubs. Now, understanding that the page is the communicator to between the minor and major tarot, or the arcana, as we say. So think of it as two languages with a bridge. And the page is that communicator. So with preference / principle and this communicator and the clubs being significant to change, my first flash, Shirley, is making presentation or presenting yourself in a way that it's to articulate the difference between, like, I think you're not just, I think you know preference and principle yourself, but it's finding a language or a way to help others and articulating that for themselves. So there's a delivery of information here. So not what so much, my feeling is not what's been given to you, but more of what you're giving to others. And maybe that's through your work or in some way you're in your life, but you're bringing about change, but articulating preference versus principle. But also maybe for you, it could be, it might be your preference to want to change the world. Like for me, it would be, but it's a by principle, it's only who asks. And
right.
Not giving unsolicited advice. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think that it's just a reframing in your mind somehow of what you're going to be presenting. Good for you.
Very nice.
It shows you're busy. There's some busyness coming up. Now, from what I see, we have Dr. Stephen next.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Michael?
Okay. Yep, that's what I have as well.
Okay.
All right. And I have a little funny here. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. Wildcard number 5, don't hate.
All right.
It's a wild card kind of night. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, or within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Well, now, in support of that, Stephen, is the Three of Clubs, and I see that as how you're seeing the future, maybe the future for yourself, or future for others, and again, being sure, and I'm sure you do, but this is just that little reminder of focusing on the positive while dealing with the negative. And because I don't think negative is something we're supposed to just ignore or discard, right. But we have to find ways to manage it, but still staying on our own pathway for the future. So I think that's just a little reminder for you. It's just, you know, bring your focus in. And I think life is like driving bumper cars sometimes, but to stay on your path for your future. I think that's what this is saying. So keep going forward and don't let all this other periphery stuff kind of irritate you too much. And look, it irritates all of us to a point, but you have to just shrug it off it and still get through the day, one week at a time. But because I think you're setting things up for yourself and you have been for a while, so you're going to carry on, but don't let little negative things throw you off. So that's just what I get from that. I hope that makes sense to you. So, you know, as an affirmation.
All right.
How are we doing? Well, how are we doing for time, Michael?
I think we were about to wrap up, and I think I'm just double-checking that we got everybody a card that wanted one. So, well, it's that time of the evening.
I know.
It's that time of night.
Well, you know, I want to appreciate the Dr. Shirley saying great topic and presentation tonight. Thanks for that, Shirley. And thanks for everybody for being here. I would like to give a little plug for myself before we wrap up, if that's all right, Michael.
Oh, I can't imagine why it wouldn't be.
YakAllie.com. YakAllie. YakAllie. And Yak the animal, but Yak it up, you know, talking. It's a new conversation app that I've just come out with. I'm the founder of this. And it ways to help give people ideas and topics and make it kind of fun, whether it's on your phone, your iPad, or your computer, you know, ways for people to ask each other questions, get to know each other. There's a family section, there's an adult section, and you know, there's more in development, but my thing is helping people have conversations again, you know, and talking and getting to know each other on a deeper level. So I hope you all check it out.
Absolutely, man.
You know, it's free.
Do a little testimonial. That, you know, I can admit that I've used it. It's a good time. It's fun. And you can, if you do it on your phone, you can save it to your home screen. Nice little app. And
thank you.
I encourage you to try it.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Michael, for saying that. It's so far, the feedback has been good. We only just got onto social media a few days ago, launched it, and it, like I say, it's free. Donations are always appreciated, of course, and we have merchandise, the merchandising page. Hope you check that out. It's meant to be fun and insightful. So, you know, any feedback in the future, please don't hesitate to contact me or, you know, Yak Alley app on Facebook. You know, that's great. So thank you very much. Thanks for letting me do that, Michael.
Oh,
I know I'm taking advantage here.
Oh, so. Pshaw, I say. But no, it's been a great topic tonight, and I think that I think I have next week's figured out. So next week, if you tune in, we are going to reveal the true one and only meaning of life. All right, so you tune
we're
in.
We're going to talk about time going backwards, aren't we?
I think, how can we not? Come on.
Of course.
But until then, I hope you join us next week. But until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.